In the depth of the orchestra, something stirs. Six notes, the beginning of Shostakovich's 10th symphony. A symphony that's like one of those great Russian novels by the likes of Tolstoy, Dostoevsky, or Bulgakov. Except that, in the case of this, the first movement of the symphony, the list of characters is mercifully shorter. Let me introduce them. You've already met the character at the start of the symphony that will give the catchy name of Theme 1, but here it is again, just to jog your memory. As I said, six notes and easily memorized. After about 2.5 minutes of dark rumination centered around this theme, a second character enters, a character that we'll dub, conveniently, you guessed it, Theme 2. It appears initially on the clarinet, and, unlike Theme 1, is of some considerable length. Pay some attention to the countermelody in the strings. The violins take up the melody, and the music slowly builds to the first full orchestral climax of the piece. And listen to that counter-melody I drew your attention to, now given the full power of the horn section. Now, if you're a sonata form sort of person, you'll be thinking, first theme, second theme. Right, let's get ready for the development section. But you'd be wrong. There's an important third character yet to be introduced. Third themes have a distinguished and honourable history in symphonic first movements. Visit the Bruckner symphonies and you'll find loads of them. The tempo increases, and a solo flute plays a theme, theme 3, that sways and circles around the note G. As happened with theme 2, the violins take up the woodwind soloist's melody and expand on it, but it eventually ends up back in the woodwind, in the rich lower register of the clarinet. And that really is it. We have all the material, and, with a brief link passage from the violins, the exposition comes to an end. Shostakovich now starts to put this material through its paces, otherwise known as the development section. And it begins most remarkably, not in terms of the combination of themes 1 and 2, but in the instrument that Shostakovich uses to start. Have a listen. See if you can work out what they are. Well done if you spotted two bassoons, double bassoon, and timpani, joined later by a clarinet. I leave you to explore what Shostakovich does with his three themes in what is, to say the least, a very exciting development section. But I think I should point out an interesting overlap. Listen how, at the climax of this, his development section, Shostakovich manages somehow or other to simultaneously start to recap his material. You remember the slow, dark rumblings that opened the symphony? Listen to them now, transformed at their climactic point. And then there's that second semplice theme on the clarinet, with its countermelody. It's now transformed into this full orchestral outburst, replete with tam-tam and a horn section in full cry. In fact, the only theme to return in anything like its original form is the third one, the flute solo. It makes its reappearance in the tonic major of E and in slinky thirds on two clarinets. Which always reminds me of the famous flower duet from Delibes' Lakmé. And so we come to the end piece, the coda. It starts with the low bassoons in much the same way as the development section started, but with the addition of a few extra woodwind instruments. It ends with the smallest instrument in the orchestra, the aptly named piccolo. Lonely, sad, isolated, and timid are the words that come to my mind as the little flute outlines the arpeggio of E minor, the home key of the symphony, with a bare accompaniment of pizzicato string chords and ominous distant thunder on the timpani.